Welcome to the New Reality Show, where you can call in live for laser coaching and engage in Q&A with Drs. Art Emmerich and Christina Winzi. Discover how to master the power of your mind, body, and spiritual energies. Get empowered to create your new reality for more happiness, well-being, and success. Hello, Dr. Art.
Hello, Dr. Chris, and all the people out in radio TV land across the world here. Welcome.
Yes, absolutely. We are so excited. This is going to be a really good show. It's just the two of us. We don't have a guest tonight. But you know what? In a way, Dr. Art, I love it when we do our shows together. And I love it when we interview people. When we interview people, we get new information for our audience. And then when we do it, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's this intimate kind of conversation as if we're talking to somebody right in our office.
Yeah. Well, it's sharing our history, which is embarrassingly quite long at this point. But has also been very filled with learning about things that we think people really need to know in order to lead a more comfortable, a happier, more relaxed life and really get the most out of their days.
Absolutely. And just if you're new to the show, we created this show because we have seen how much stress and anxiety and challenges people have been going through. And though Dr. Art and I can help people one-on-one, we really wanted to be able to expand and help people all over the place. You know, wherever BBS Radio goes, we can go. And that way we can provide really great resources, information, things that will help your lives. And we also are here if somebody wants to call in and talk to us, or if you want laser coaching, if you want to join the conversation. So tonight, we're talking about better ways to set and achieve goals. And we all know that New Year's is coming, and it's kind of a timely topic to be prepared for, really sitting down and saying, what is it I want for 2022? So I'm excited about this topic. And Dr. Art, you found a lot of really good stuff. And so, yeah, but I want to know, what is that spot on your head?
Well, I got in a fight with one of Florida's big alligators. I was out on the golf course coaching one of my clients. And this gator wouldn't get out of the way, so I just went up and bit him, and he his tail came by and gave me a little whack. So I'll learn better to get out of the way next time.
But I see.
It's almost gone. You can almost not even tell it by now, you know?
You know, your tall tale.
Just happened 15 minutes ago, too, so I think it's healing very nicely.
Oh, you're doing wonderfully.
Yeah, good.
Well, I want to give people the phone number if they want to call in.
Yes.
And so if you are in the United States, you can call toll free at 1-888-627-6008. And if you're outside the U.S., you have to dial direct, put a 1 in front of 323-744-4831. And also on our show page, if you go to the main show page, we want to thank our sponsors, I guess you call them sponsors, but they're subscribers. And there is a way to subscribe. If you feel that you're getting value out of this show, we would be so thrilled to have you as one of our subscribers and someone who knows that you're helping us to help other people by keeping this show on the air. So if that moves you, then we appreciate it. And if not, that's okay. But we hope that you'll share this show with other people so we get a bigger audience every time we're on. So with that, one of the things we do every single week is Dr. Art has a tip of the week. Mm-hmm. And I always look forward to it because it's always very profound. So Dr. Art, You go ahead and tell us your tip of the week.
Okay, this one starts with a little story about a young man who was trying to entice his new date, impress her as much as he could. And so he started off by saying, well, you know, I might not be the best looking guy or the smartest or the most talented or the one with the most money. I don't remember where I was going with this. And so
you're doing the tip of the week and you're telling a story to start
telling
out.
A story. And the story is don't compare. Comparison is deadly. And there's always going to be somebody taller and smarter and richer and whatever than you are, and some less so. But it doesn't do you any good. Now, if you just absolutely must compare with your previous behaviors, with your previous successes or your previous experience, and say, gosh, I did better than I did before, or I didn't do quite as good. That's maybe useful, but even that is doubtful. But certainly don't compare yourself with other people, because it is a deadly dead-end trap, you know, that you can't ever get out of. So
it sure is. And that's
so
just
stop it.
Yeah. You're reminding me of a Bob Newhart segment.
Right.
Where he pretends to be a psychiatrist, which was his show, right? Mm-hmm. But it's a sitcom. Like a little vignette, and the person comes in and she starts telling him, and she's complaining about her life, and he says, well, stop it.
He said, I have a remedy for that. And she said, do I need to write it down? He said, no, it's just two words. I think you can remember it. Okay. Stop it.
And he only charges by the 5 minutes. So he doesn't let her go on and on. And he tells her to stop it. It's very, very funny.
If any
of you know Bob Newhart, we're very old, the two of us. So it's from a long time ago.
Yeah, but you can find it on YouTube now. And it's just as funny now as it was then to me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I agree. Comparison. Boy, when I was younger, that was something I did all the time. And it was a confidence killer. It was a self-esteem killer.
The younger people are just, when they get on Facebook and Twitter and all they're doing is finding people, you know, who looks like have it better than they do or doing better than they are. And it just wraps them up into knots, and it's totally unnecessary.
Absolutely.
Just get out of that comparison mode. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think it's really important with goal setting, which is our topic, because when you're setting goals, like you said, you can compare yourself to where you were before. But even then, you know, if you start thinking, well, I want to set goals, but I didn't achieve these, or, you know, you can get in admired in some negativity and failure. Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why people don't set goals, that they not had a good experience with achieving them. They've had a long-term awareness that I set these goals every year, and then I don't remember them until December, and so it's too late to do anything. Mm-hmm. Or they set them so impossibly high that nobody could achieve them, and then they get discouraged by that. So there are a lot of different strategies for goal setting, and I hope we can give people some great tips on how to do that, some practical applications of how to do it.
Absolutely. I think that we will be able to do that very well. And one of the things is, you know, other than not having achieved them, that I know is a challenge for people is they don't make enough of a solid commitment, because when you set goals, there's going to be the ups and the downs. Mm-hmm. And so what happens to a lot of people is that life sets in, they get interrupted, you know, they're all excited and they're going for the gusto and they can't wait to take action. And then life sets in and their motivation goes down and they get discouraged if something interrupts. And so it's really about being committed no matter what. That's really a big part of it, don't you think?
I do. And understanding that there are two things that operate in our life when the goal setting area, and that is trying to figure out, comes from time management actually, trying to figure out if this is important and or urgent. It could be one or the other or neither or both. And what they found out is that the urgent will always displace the important. It gets in the way of doing it. And so pretty soon the time's all gone and you were dealing with all these urgent things that came up and never had any time to spend on your important goals. So once you set a goal or once you start thinking about goals, really decide, is this an urgent thing that I really need to get done and that's why I'm setting the goal now? Or is it an important thing that I really want to be able to look back at the end of the year and say, I really accomplished something well? And just realize that urgent is always going to attack important. And if you don't protect the important stuff and protect it by spending time on those things and thinking about them and working on them, they won't ever get any attention because the urgent will just push them right out.
That reminds me of Stephen Covey's quadrants. Mm-hmm. And his main quadrant to focus on is what's not urgent, but is important.
But is important,
which is, which is what you're saying, because quadrant one is urgent and important, and it's the fires that you have to put out in life. Mm-hmm. And if you can learn to be preventative with, you know, if there are certain things that seem to crop up because you haven't taken care of planning and preventing, then it can really become not just a fire, but a raging fire. Yeah. And it throws you completely off. So, yeah. You know, that was something that in when I was practicing chiropractic, the hardest thing to get people to do often is for them to think about prevention. Instead of waiting until something's so bad that you have to see the doctor, how can you prevent it? What can you do to take care of your health? It's the same with anything.
Another thing that interesting Harvard study, they did a longitudinal study, and they had there was a goal setting class, and they had people go to the class and do what they hopefully do what they told them was going to work. And they went back 10 years later, and they still had the goals that these people had set. And the question was, did you achieve them or not? And so they found out, you know, some people had, some people a little bit, some people had accomplished the whole thing. The distinguishing characteristic of the people who achieved their goals was that they wrote them down. The ones who did not write the goals down had a miserable record of accomplishment. And so that seems to be, for some reason now, the act of writing something down makes it more real to us, or so I don't know what it is, but as long as it was just kind of kept as this kind of, oh yeah, I got this idea, I got this goal, and I'm going to do it. But if you don't write it down, maybe it's the precision of having to put words to it, or I don't know what all the things are that, but writing them down is a key component of whether or not you're likely to actually achieve them or not.
It is. And, you know, it makes it more tangible. Yeah. And the other thing is that when you write it down and it becomes more tangible and more possible, often you will come against people in your life who are what we call the naysayers, people who don't necessarily support you or believe in your goal. And they oftentimes they aren't meaning to pull you down, but they actually have good intentions and they don't want you to get disappointed. I've had that experience where I had a friend who I would get all excited about something that I wanted to achieve. And I was on, you know, I had made the plans and I was starting to take action. Mm-hmm. And I would share it with great excitement. And the first thing out of his mouth was, well, now you might want to lower your expectations. And I don't want you to get disappointed, because he didn't believe what was possible, I did.
Yeah. Well, there are one of the things we find out that there are at least three different strategies for goal setting that people use, and it depends on, you know, how you think about your capacity and the future and the amount of time and energy you have. But some people set these impossibly high goals. Mm-hmm. And their idea is, I know that I'm not going to achieve this goal, but if I set it high and go for it, I'll probably achieve more than if I set a low goal and achieve it. I'll probably get more done. So they're able to withstand the disappointment of not achieving the goal because they knew that they set it impossibly high to begin with, just to act as a stimulant to themselves. Other people set these extremely low goals so that they have the pleasure of accomplishing everything they set out to do, you know? And then they look at it and say, well, that wasn't anything. I could have done that with my eyes closed. And so they get disappointed by their own goals, you know? And there's some people kind of in the middle that set them reasonably, a little bit of a stretch effort in it. And it's something that gives them something to work on. But it doesn't seem, you know, not defeating. It's not an impossible task, but it is a challenging task. So you have to find what level of goal stimulates your best activity toward achieving it, you know. And mm-hmm. for some, it's going to be really high, some really low, some in the middle somewhere. And just experiment and play with it a little bit until you find the way your goals relate to your life and your intentions.
Yes.
Another thing that was left out of every goal setting process I've seen, except this one, it says, when you achieve your goal, celebrate. Mm-hmm. Have a fantastic celebration. They said, what if the team that won the Super Bowl went into the locker room at the end of the game and they said, okay, well, thanks everybody. Goodbye. We'll see you at practice. You know? And no champagne, no, you know, no yelling and screaming. And no, you know, after a while they would say, well, wait a minute. You know, all the fun that we could have about enjoying our win, we didn't get to do it. And so there's a feeling when you celebrate that is a mark of, a mark in the sand or a mark in the, you know, in life, mm-hmm. that is a milepost. And you can say, I can look back on that and say, yeah, I did that. You know, that was good. So
absolutely. Yeah. Well, and the other thing that goes along with what you said about some people set huge goals that they know they can't reach. Mm. There are people for whom that works. And then you said, some people set low goals because they know they can reach them. Right. But either way, one of the reasons people quit is because it can seem overwhelming. Mm-hmm. If they haven't, like you said, they need to write it down, but then they need to just kind of chunk it into pieces. And, you know, it's almost like a puzzle. It's like, what comes first? How do I make this a project so that I know, okay, I have to do this in order for this to be the next step. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of it when you're writing it down. It doesn't mean you have to know the how. It just means that you make the best attempt that you can at planning it and then go about your actions believing that you're taking the right steps, and life will kind of show you something may happen and you have a contingency plan or, mm-hmm. You know, sometimes people come along that help you sometimes out of the blue. It's amazing. Yeah.
We really can. And, there is, there is something on that, that if you can visualize what it is that you want to achieve, it is also much better than keeping it in a kind of a fuzzy cloud of I have an intention to do this, but so the more specificity you can give what it is you want. And from a hypnosis standpoint alone, never tell your system how to do anything. Just tell it what you want. Your unconscious will come up with more great hows than your conscious mind could ever come up with. And if you cut it off and say, no, I want my conscious mind working on this, and so I'm going to tell it, okay, first you do this, and then you do that, and then you do it. A lot of people's goals have 27 steps in it and all that kind of thing, and they're saying, no, just make a picture of what you want in your mind as detailed as you possibly can, and put the strong emotions with it that you feel as you accomplish that goal. You're going to feel pretty good about it. So the combination of the picture and the feeling creates a guide for your unconscious, and it will go out and look for ways to help you manifest in your external world what you've got locked in your internal world or your imagination. The unconscious's job is to help you move that out into reality and external reality. So please don't say how, just say what in great detail. What does
and
it
with
look
the pictures.
Like? What does it feel like?
Yes.
What does it sound like? What does it taste like? What does it smell like? You know, it's every sensory descriptor that you can give it, because your unconscious works on sensory-based data. It's not good with abstractions. And I want to be the greatest hypnotist in the entire world, you know, and what your unconscious hears is blah, 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 blah. You know, it has no idea. What is that? What does that look like? What does it sound like? What, you know, I'll figure out how to make it happen. But first, you gotta show me. Don't tell me. Show me what you want. Pictures and feelings and stuff. So, yeah, by all means, just concentrate on the what. The better job you do on the what, the more likely you are to achieve it.
That's so true. That is so true. And also, figuring out what's most important to you. Because often when people set goals that aren't really their own, that aren't really important to them, you know, it's interesting, because sometimes the goals that you have are work related, and you've been told what projects and what goals you have to achieve. Mm-hmm. So that's a different kind of goal setting in a way than your own goals for your life. Yeah. So being aware that when you're setting goals for your life, unless your career is your business and it is what's really important to you, mm-hmm. if your goal is coming from your heart, coming from what matters most to you, then the chances of you sticking to it are far better. Mm-hmm. And when you're having to do goals for somebody else's business, and it's been told to you what you have to achieve, then it's just a question of you're being a good soldier. Mm-hmm. And if you love your job, that's great. You may, you know, go after that goal with gusto because you want to impress your boss, because you like what you're doing, whatever it is. But I think a lot of people know what they don't want, but they don't really know what they want. And so that ties in with what you just said, is knowing what does it look like? What does it sound like? What are you going to be doing? How are you going to be acting? What will you be thinking? What will you be telling yourself? Even down to what will you be smelling? What will you be eating when you're telling somebody how great your thing is, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's really important, I think, to begin spending time on the putting as much information as you possibly can into your mind, so that your unconscious has some clues about how it can get involved. Otherwise, it's just sitting there waiting for information, but you know, I'll help you get what you want, but first you got to show me what it is. Don't tell me what it is, but show me, you know, how does it feel? How does it taste? How does it, and all these. And then the interesting thing that I do is in goal setting, as I give people, when you make a picture, and I usually say, I want you to have a picture of this success. And then I ask them, now, you got a picture, right? Yes, I do. Can you see yourself? Oh, yes, I can see me. I'm standing on the stage, or I'm going into the bank, or I'm, you know, doing whatever it is success looks like. And I said, that's great. And that is something your unconscious needs. However, that is what you would, another person would see as they're watching you be successful. And that's helpful for the unconscious. But now what I want you to do is get into your body and look out through your eyes, and you can't see yourself anymore because you're in there looking out. Now go through the same process of experiencing this success. And now your unconscious can say, oh, you mean this is us? Oh, okay, I thought this was somebody else. No. So both of them, very helpful. And some people initially visualize associated, they're already in their body. And if that's true, I say, okay, now get outside of your body and look at yourself being successful. What does it look like to you? You know, what are all the details about? What are you wearing? What's the expression on your face? What, you know, the whole work is in as much detail as you can. And even if it's not exactly right, your unconscious is going to work on that, and it'll give you as close as it can. And some people have already come up with that, this or something better, which is always a great.
I love that. I was just about to say that. Oh, absolutely. So, yeah. No, that's great. I do want to take a quick station break in case we have some new people that have joined us. This is the New Reality Show. I'm Dr. Christina Winsey, and this is Dr. Art Emmerich. And we are here to help people live better lives, and that's it. This show is a work of comes from our hearts and our passion to help people with stress and all kinds of challenges that people face through free resources that can make a difference for you. So one of the things I do want to say is we're here every week, and we welcome you to call into the show. It is a call-in show. And if you'd like to join the conversation or even get laser coaching, you can dial in the United States toll-free 1-888-627-6008. And if you're outside the U.S., you dial 1-323-744-4888. And we do have some free resources on goal setting that you can achieve, you can get from us. And at the end of the show, I'm going to give you our email so that you can get those free resources. And that'll help you when you're setting your New Year's goals or anytime you're doing your goals. And we hope that you take advantage of that. Mm-hmm. So, the other thing that I wanted to talk about was when people lose motivation, what do they need to do? And I think that, you know, we were talking in the beginning about why people don't achieve their goals. And I think this is a big one, because a lot of people end up saying, I just lost my motivation. It's just, I don't know, it went out the window. And what I learned something from my mother, I learned a lot of things from my mother, but one of the things that she was a writer as part of her, she was many things, but she loved to write. And she said, if you wait for your muse, if you wait for motivation, it's not going to cut it. Half of the, well, even 90%, up to 90% of the time, it's having a routine to get in front of the typewriter. At the time, it was a typewriter, and sit yourself down every morning and spend an hour writing, no matter whether it's good or bad. And I think that what people often believe is that they have to be motivated in order to take action. they have to be excited all the time and feel like, oh boy, I'm going to get this goal. And that's just not reality, you know? And I remember a saying, and I don't remember who said it, but successful people are willing to do things when, I'm not saying it quite right, but they will do things even when they don't feel like it. And unsuccessful people feel as though they have to feel like it in order to do it.
In order to do it, yeah.
Yeah. So what
would you... One of the things that can happen is that we can lose our connection to our why. We start with these goals. Why do I want to do this? Well, we have some reason there, and that's usually enough to get us to want to set the goal to begin with. And what happens is an interesting thing I learned when I was in business school, this notion of a cost-benefit analysis. What I've decided is that before engaging in every behavior for the rest of our life, for all of our life, we run a very quick, unconscious cost-benefit analysis on what's going to be the likelihood, you know, what's this going to cost me in time and money and effort and whatever it might be, energy and loss of other things that I could be doing, the opportunity cost, you know, is there. What is it that makes it worthwhile to me? And we put those costs and those benefits together and on a little scale. And if the cost outweighs the benefits, we don't do it. And it wouldn't be smart for us because we're pretty intelligent. We're pre-wired to make good decisions. And so what can happen, though, over time is that your cost-benefit analysis loses track of some of the benefits and exaggerates some of the costs and everything. So it's worthwhile going back and doing a little, you know, line down the middle of the page. What are the costs? What are the benefits? And see if you can reduce some of these costs and increase the value of some of these benefits. And it will remotivate you very quickly because you can see, oh, yeah, I remember now. I want this payoff. And there is some costs, you know, that I got to do, but it's a really good deal for me. And if it's not a good deal, don't do it. It wouldn't be smart at all to do. So,
well, the other thing, reconnect. I'm sorry. Yeah. The other thing that I think is really key when it comes to goals, and it's one of the challenges, is dealing with the desire for immediate gratification, which isn't going to get you where you want to go, versus saying, I'm going to put off my gratification till I get this or I do this. So, for instance, I mean, a typical example is being on a diet. And when the urge strikes you for a brownie, you can go ahead and have that brownie. But if it's not benefiting the ultimate goal, which is to stay healthy and keep your weight down, then, you know, you're deferring, if you don't defer your gratification, then you're screwing up your goal, so to speak.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So really thinking about how much, because this is a thing that I think happens to people because they almost never developed in certain areas. I'm not saying in all areas, but in certain areas where they're trying to achieve a goal like weight loss, like there are many situations, learning to kind of grow up, because it's kids that need immediate gratification. Mm-hmm. And they have to learn how to put off gratification. And this is when you find a kid crying in the grocery store because their mom won't give them the candy bar.
Yeah.
You know, they want it now. Well, sorry, kiddo.
So does everybody.
Yeah. So that is one of the things.
I've got a little four-word question that I use. If goal setting has to do with your weight, It is that we all know that excess weight is excess food. I mean, it's just that simple. You can't exercise away. It would take you all day to overcome one donut, you know, and most people are not willing to exercise that much in order to enjoy one donut. So the four-word question that I have for people is, before you put anything into your mouth, eat or drink, ask yourself, toward or away from? So you already know what your goal is. Is what I'm getting ready to put into my mouth, is that taking me toward that goal, or is it taking me away from it? Now, it doesn't keep you from eating the donut, but it just says, if you eat this, you're going to consciously know that you're moving away from your goal. You're not going to, because a lot of people say, oh, I forgot. Well, this is a way to remember every mouthful, because that's the level sometimes you have to get down to in order, yeah, I'll take one bite of this, but I'm not going to take any more than one, you know. Well, that's good. You know, you've achieved something with that. And that little four-word question, toward or away from, is really powerful. It keeps you conscious about whether what you're doing is moving you toward your goal or and in some other direction. You know, it really keeps you focused.
I love that. And it means that you're taking personal responsibility for what you're doing. And often it will just, you know, you'll have your hand on the refrigerator door and you go, gosh darn it, I want to go toward.
Yeah, I'm gonna go
so
toward.
You don't open it.
There's nothing in there that's a toward. So I'll leave it to
myself. Absolutely. Well,
another thing that can get in the way is something called our negative self-talk cycle. You know, we all talk to ourselves all the time, thousands of times a day. We have a statement that we make, and about 85% of it's negative. And so if you get into this, well, I can never be successful. I never reach my goals. I wish this was over with. I'm just a loser. I'm frustrated. I'll probably fail at this, or I can't change, or all this stuff just ran. It goes through our brain. And that is a sabotage, self-sabotage. So there's some things you can do about that. It sometimes is difficult to change the actual words. Not impossible, but sometimes you can do that. Other times you can take those words and say, whose voice are those in? And if it's a parent or a teacher or some significant other, or maybe you, change it to another voice, you know, that especially if you can do something like Donald Duck or Mickey Mouse or Goofy, that's really good. Or you can speed it up. You know, I can never accomplish my goals. I can't do this. I'll probably fail. You know, and what you're doing right now, laughter is the negative emotion destroyer, the most powerful one you can have. Another thing you could do if you're not good at changing voices is you can just slow it down. I can never accomplish my goals. And you know, so it's again, you laugh at it. Or, you know, speed it up so that it's just so fast that it becomes unintelligible. Anything that creates humor, it takes the sting of that emotional negativity out of it, and you start laughing and you go on and do what you should have been doing. You know, you've lost the negative cycle.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that. And it transforms your state of mind immediately. So I think that's perfect. The other thing is the ecology of your goal. And when I say that, I mean that we are holistic beings. So when you're setting a goal, whether it's large or small, and that whole cost benefit analysis that you talked about, you take into account, if I go for this goal, then how does that fit into the grand scheme of what my life is now? Because if you have a family, if you have young kids, if you have other considerations, maybe you're taking care of an elderly parent, whatever the circumstances of your life, if the goal is going to imbalance you, and usually it's you yourself who take the fall, so to speak, just to just to achieve the goal, you end up being stressed out or not sleeping enough and working till all hours. And so another thing to ask yourself is, I want to achieve this goal, and maybe I need to just kind of achieve this goal right now because of this phase of my life. I learned this a long time ago. If you're a mom with young kids, if you're a dad with young kids, you're in a phase. You're in a phase where they need you a whole lot. And you have to kind of say, well, since I'm in this phase, how much of a goal can I actually set and achieve? And then if you're in a phase where you have a lot more freedom, and maybe the kids are grown, maybe they're, you know, whatever, then you can set a much bigger goal, because you know that you'll have the time and the focus and the energy that otherwise is pulling on you.
Dr. Chris, that's so smart, because a lot of people do not consider the ripple effects of goal accomplishment in their life. Mm-hmm. And I had a golfer come in one time to see me, and I said, what's your goal? And he said, I want to take 6 strokes off my handicap. And I said, okay, well, we can do that. How do you play golf now? Oh, I got this foursome, and we've been playing for 15 years. We love to play. We play 3 times a week. And I said, well, who wins? And they said, well, sometimes I win, sometimes somebody else wins. We never know who does. And I said, all right, well, that's kind of good information. So how do you think you're going to feel when they never win? You beat them every time. How do you think they're going to feel when you beat them every time? You know, is that going to be an enjoyable thing for you and or for them too? And he said, oh my gosh, I hadn't thought about that. He said, you know, playing with this group is more important to me than being a great golfer. So I think I'm just going to leave everything just like it is. Thank you very much. And he walked out of the office. I said, success. You know, I didn't even work with him, but I helped him see what he had not considered. And it would have been a real disappointment, I think. A lot of smokers that way, you know, they quit smoking. All of a sudden their old smoking buddies are not, they smell bad, and they, you know, and they don't want to be around them, and vice versa. And so I said, if you're prepared to get a whole new set of friends, that may not happen, doesn't have to, but it might. And if you're not prepared for that, be careful about messing with this, because this is a huge behavior in your life, smoking cigarettes or cigars or whatever. And so if you start monkeying with it, it's going to ripple through other things in your life. Some of them are good ripples, you know, that's great. If you have young children, they're not going to be dealing with secondary smoke. That's a great side benefit you can get. But others are, there may be some people you really like, and they don't want to be around you anymore because you're not a smoking buddy, you know. So,
well, yeah,
meeting people is good.
That's there with the drinking buddies, eating buddies.
Yeah, all the above. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's really, that's the thing to consider is, I'm setting this goal, and I want to take myself from where I am to this place. And this place doesn't necessarily include these people. So how will I feel if I go? That's brilliant, Dr. Art. Yeah. How will I feel if those people don't want to come with me, so to speak? Mm-hmm. And what you'll find is that as you're trying to, we talked before about crabs in a bucket, trying to pull, you know, the crab that's trying to get out of the bucket, the other crabs will try to pull it back in.
Yeah.
And this happens in families. This happens in friend groups. There's a movie with Melanie Griffith where she's a secretary. It's an old movie with she and Alec Baldwin, and she lives on Staten Island, and she's a secretary, and she wants to be an executive. And as she's changing her life, she's taking classes to get rid of her New York accent. She wants to speak like an executive. And so the people on Staten Island, who are like a neighborhood, a hood, they are angry with her. It's like, what do you think? You're better than we are?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why can't you just stay with what you know? And so this is another thing, is when you're setting a goal, that's part of the ecology and what you're willing to give up if people don't come with you.
Family and peers can be very, very big barriers to goal accomplishment. They want you to stay just like you are, and you know, don't make any big changes, because they're used to who you are. They know how to relate to you, and now all of a sudden you're going to be this new person, and they don't want to go through all that, you know. So it's easier to keep you. I have another thing for people who are interested in a little higher woo-woo level.
Well, we have a caller before you go on. We have a caller.
Let's do that. Yeah.
Yeah. We have Dave Larson. We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely.
Well, hello. I'm enjoying the conversation a lot tonight, but I just thought I'd want to put in a comment or a question for you to comment on for us.
Absolutely.
Setting secondary goals, I think, has been important. I raised 4 children, and all of them signed up for piano lessons, and all of them were in sports programs. And we always set goals on practicing. We set goals for the recital. We set goals for ball handling to win the tournament. But I never really had a goal for them to be a virtuoso pianist or a virtuoso or a superstar athlete. But in the end, those goal settings made kids that got their homework done and picked good boyfriends and girlfriends and kids that went on and made good decisions in college and careers and jobs and who they married. And so I always felt that those secondary goals were far more important than the initial ones we set out to do when we signed up with the analysts.
I love that.
Yeah. I do too. I think that's really good. It's just looking down the line. I feel bad sometimes for some of these poor kids who are in the Olympics and they have no childhood. You know, this goal was, you got to be in the Olympics. You got to be in the Olympics. And it was not fun for them at all. You know, it was a very difficult task, and the poor kids just got, you know, pushed and pushed and pushed, and then they made it to the Olympics. So I guess you could say, well, that's a success. But I look back on it, and it kind of like you, David, I'm thinking, boy, my kids had a fabulous childhood. They got to enjoy being who they were at the age they were, and that's pretty darn important, I think, in a family.
Yeah, well, just thought I'd throw that in because I've enjoyed the conversation. So
awesome.
Thank you for calling. Right,
keep it going.
Yeah, right. Excellent. Well, and the other thing that I think is just so vital of what you said is that you actually taught them how to, you know, we aren't given in the schools. They don't teach us goal setting. They don't teach us how to set expectations for yourself, really. You know, we're measured a lot with tests and things, but what you did, David, was really help your kids to learn how to engineer their lives. So I think that's really admirable. Excellent. Excellent.
Well, this is a kind of a high-level woo-woo way to accomplish a goal. Some people might enjoy this. So let's say that you have this goal and you've been into it with the visual, the auditory, the kinesthetic, the olfactory and the gustatory. You've got all the senses involved. You've got a beautiful description of your goal, both inside your body and outside, watching yourself be successful. So now one of the things you can do is just close your eyes and imagine that all of that is on a DVD. You put all that information on a DVD. And just imagine that you're just kind of floating up out of your body, up over your timeline, and you're going to float very gradually and very gently out into the future. and you're holding this DVD in your hand as you're going, and you're going to get to a place where the timeline is going to start tugging on this thing, and you let go and it kind of floats down like a leaf falling, and it goes right into the timeline, right where it belongs, where the goal's accomplished just the way you wanted it. And so what you can do then is look out into the future and watch your old timeline just kind of ripple with all the changes that are as a result of your achieving that goal. And then you turn around and look back toward the present, and you can see all the things between the present and where you are also rippling along because of the changes that you, when you chose that goal and decided you're going to work on it, all the things you're going to do in order to make it happen, you know, to make it manifest itself. And then when you experience all that, then you very slowly float back above now and then back down and back into your body. And so that is a very advanced timeline method of goal setting and goal accomplishment. You actually put the goal out in your timeline where it belongs, and your timeline knows where that is. And then you get to come back and enjoy the fact that you've watched your life ripple all the way through as the changes happen.
So that's a fascinating technique, but I think that if we can offer that as a freebie that you could write up and people could email us. Okay. So yeah. that was a little bit hard to follow with just words. And I think it's brilliant, though.
It's a little more complex, but it appeals to some of the high woo-woo level people who want a new and different way to achieve a goal. And
I don't think it's woo-woo. I think it's actually part of a visualization. You know, it's part of just experiencing as if the goal is already achieved, which is something that, you know, is very important. Yeah. And it's actually taught in goal setting is to feel as though it's already achieved.
It's already achieved.
Yeah.
So it's a very powerful and natural, really. I mean, it's all the things that are going to happen anyway. As you're working on achieving this goal, your life does change a little bit. And then after you achieve the goal, your life changes even more because you achieved it. So it's a recognition of what's really going to happen. But you're actually visualizing that whole process before you ever even start on it, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. What I want to tell people too is if you're going to email us, and Thomas, if you would put up our email, we can send you how to do what are called SMART goals. Mm-hmm. We can also send you how to use NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, to do some of the things that we've been talking about in terms of making it very real with all of your senses and the visualization and other aspects that we've been talking about. So you would email contactnrshow@gmail.com, and that is contact N as in new, R as in reality, show. If you're not looking at us on screen, you're probably just listening. So that's a contact nrshow@gmail.com. And we'll be happy to send you everything we have on goal setting by email, no charge at all. We really want people to be able to make 2022 a much, much better year for themselves, because boy, has it been challenging for people. I did want to add before we go, I think one of the most important things about setting goals is to enjoy the journey. If you can't, you know, it's funny because in the movies, you get to the crescendo and the lovers have gotten back together, or the person has made a success of their business. And, you know, there's this feeling of the orchestra plays and you're happy ever after. Mm-hmm. And really how the protagonist learned in the story was everything they went through to get there. Mm-hmm. And so if you're not enjoying the moments, whether they're good or bad, whether they're whether they're a struggle or whether they're smooth, if you're not enjoying your life and the path to your goal, then how can you expect that you're going to be so fulfilled when you get the goal? It's like thinking, I'm not living until I actually have this thing. Mm-hmm. And it's a way I think so many people do not really experience their lives, because they're waiting for this or that or the other thing to make them happy. And the way to achieve goals is to be happy right now with every step that you're taking.
That's so, been described as an event mentality versus a process mentality. Mm-hmm. If you can enjoy the process, then the event comes along and yeah, that was nice, that was good, that's what I was hoping for. But that's not this be-all, end-all thing. If you're an event person, usually the process is very frustrating. You know, I'm trying to get to this successful event that I, and then it may take, if you have a 5-year goal to get to, then for 5 years, you're just going to be in a big hassle to get there. And you don't smell any roses on the way, you know.
So. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Well, we have run out of time again, Dr. Art.
Oh, no. Not that again.
Yeah. I think we could talk forever, but has been so great. And thank you so much, David, for calling in. We really enjoyed having someone join our conversation with some quality information. And we will be choosing a good replay for next week, because it is Christmas Eve. So Dr. Art and I are taking off, but we're going to choose one of our best shows for our replay. And we just want to thank our supporters again, our subscribers. And again, if you want to get our freebies, you just have to write to contactnrshow@gmail.com. And I guess we're done.
I think we're there.
So thank you so much, everybody. Thank you, Dr. Art. It's always
thank
a joy.
You, Dr. Chris, too. Yes. And tune in next week for a good replay.
Yes. And Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us. If you've enjoyed this show, please consider being a supporter. You can find that on our show page. Tune in every Friday night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and find us on Facebook at facebook.com/newrealityshow for announcements of upcoming topics and exciting guest interviews. Bye for now.